Coming at you live from DNHQ in beautiful South Pasadena, California. That was the sound of Gary. And Gary's back. Welcome to Gary Podcast.
That was a great reintroduction, Gary.
Hey. I love how I'm like, all right, I'm about to push the buttons. And then he's like, wait, how do I? It's been a while for Gary. But I put him in a nice fancy new upper left-hand corner on the window here for the live. What is going on, Dodgers Nation? My name is Clint. You can find me as RealFRG on Twitter and Instagram.
That's right, guys. You can find me at BrookMe3 because I am Brooke, and that makes sense. The math adds up. We're both on Twitter and Instagram. Gary's over there. Gary, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. I missed you guys.
Yeah, we're so glad. We had a lot of people asking about you, like, literally every week for the past, couple months? Yeah,
well, it's been nice. No, I've been watching the show from the house, and I've seen those comments, so thank you, everybody, for missing me and making me feel like I can come back to the show.
He said, thank you for missing me.
It's not like you were ever kicked off. You just had work to do.
A little bit.
Speaking of work to do, this is a series preview for the upcoming NLDS where the Dodgers are going to take on the awful, hated Padres that think they are a rival. So on today's show, we got to talk about Slam Diego down in Arlington.
That's good because there's a lot that's going on down in Arlington. It's down. That counts as down, right? It's like down.
Yeah, it's down east. Enough.
Whatever that counts. We'll talk about the rosters a little bit because while they haven't been announced, we have a lot to say about them still somehow. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do that. We're also going to talk about the freaking Houston Astros stinking up Dodger Stadium. We don't like it. We don't love it. We hate it. But they're there, and we got to talk about it.
It's very frustrating. I see Cheryl saying, hated watching the Astros in our stadium. There was not one good thing about watching that happen. And then the A's go and lose, so bruh. It was very much a bruh moment.
Just one job.
Plus, we'll make some predictions and talk about other stuff and yada yada. We got to break down that series again coming up with San Diego. But before we get in the show, we got to remind you, please rate and review our podcast. We're on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Pandora, Stitcher Radio, Alexa, and so many other spots. So just, just do that. Again, we'll wait. We're not going to wait.
Don't forget, guys, this is a live show, so make sure you jump into those comments. Let us know where you're repping Dodgers Nation tonight. We'll try to pull them out throughout the course of the show. We try to get people involved as much as we can. Sometimes we get lost in ourselves in our conversation because we are friends, and we like to talk about baseball, so we'll try not to do that. But jumping into the comments a little bit, Leslie over on Facebook says, Gary's back. Yay. They're very excited about you. Katie's very excited that you're back. There you go. And he's back to make you look fancy. Aren't you proud?
Yeah, right. I'm here.
We're going to start over.
Yeah. Jim over on Facebook. I believe Jim is the Nebraska guy that cracked me up like no one else has in my entire life. Says, Gary is back. Gary is indeed back. Thank you.
Juice says, I love you, Gary.
Wow.
Norma says, let's so go. Even though it's let's go. Let's go. There we go. We got that from there. We got...
we should also goo.
Oh, yeah. From Papillion? I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
Alex, does my comment get seen here? No, Alex Garcia on Periscope.
We don't see it.
We got Norma in 562. We got Hatfield jumping way ahead in the show, talking about Angel Hernandez being an umpire in this upcoming series, and it's all just like a really bad umpiring crew. So
top to bottom, it is ugly. Hatfield is checking in from Springfield, Illinois, by the way, and we got Jose over on Facebook checking in from Visalia. We got people all over. Like we said, we are Mr. and Mr. Worldwide, so we expect at least one out of country participant in this because it's every week now.
Let's say and the rest.
And Gary
Swag Daddy McGee is here saying that here to guarantee a game one win because Swag Daddy McGee over on Twitch was here with us on our last Monday show. Yeah.
Roland over on Facebook is repping Dodger Nation down in enemy territory down in San Diego. Roland, you're doing God's work. We appreciate you. Stay safe because apparently Padres fans think that there's something now. So watch out. Watch your back.
Hey, Brooke, what are you drinking over there?
Jim Beam Highball, always.
Hey, Jim Beam Highball. Just like Mom used to make. Hey, Gary, what are you drinking over there?
Ow! It's been a while. Sorry. I'm drinking Body Armor.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. This coconut drink.
Thank you to Body Armor for sending over these delicious drinks to us. That's coconut flavored, right?
Yes, it is. It's like diet coconut drink.
The office scene. You selling energy drinks?
Anyways, all right. This tends to happen when Gary's here. We dick around a lot more. So we're going to be very serious.
Before we
get into the preview stuff, we got to talk a little bit because we got to talk about the wild card series. We're doing pregame shows before every game this October. So I'm pretty sure by the end of it, if things turn out the way we hope and expect, Brooke and I will be angry and tired, but also happy. But
I haven't been that in a long time.
So we were going to do a second show last week, but instead we did two shows in the middle of the week in the way, and those are going to be online only, so everybody check those out. Subscribe and hit that notification bell on our YouTube channel, and you can catch the pregame show. We usually do them like an hour before game time for whatever, unless there's a Lakers game on, then we do it an hour and a half before game time.
Because I want to watch the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. So, again, check those out. Make sure you guys are a part of that. But Dodgers swept, I guess we can say, swept the lowly Milwaukee Brewers, much like, what's his name, Scroat McGroats wanted us to do.
Right.
I forgot.
Shout out to Mr. DeGroat over there, calling it as it is, calling a series sweep, and that's what he got. Now he can focus on his Green Bay Packers.
While we won.
Shout out to him.
While we won, I would say the series went decently, because anytime you could win, it went decently. But
didn't it feel... felt flat.
It felt weird. Like, there were some concerns. I know, Gary, you were watching it, so you haven't been here in a little while. Let's give you the you're in the analyst seat right now. What didn't you like? Or what did you like? Name one thing you liked about that series.
Kenley didn't close it.
Well, he closed game one.
I know, but he didn't close the series.
Uh-huh.
I love that part.
Oh, you love that part.
I love that part.
I'm happy that the thing you like.
I know. The thing I didn't like is Max Muncy. And that's really, like, taking me the whole year. I believed in him the whole year, but right now, I think Dave Roberts needs to treat Max Muncy the way he's treating Kenley Jansen. You know, mm-hmm. What have you done for me lately?
That's fair. It's a fair thing. What did you like and what didn't you like?
I didn't like the wild card series just in general being there in the first place. I think even a couple of Dodgers players were like, yeah, it was more like the end of the season, like more than a playoff atmosphere. It was like, hey, we have to finish up these last three games of the season before we can get to the next round.
I mean, even like ESPN was saying, like, oh, that's their, like, 18th home run of the season. Like, no, the stats are supposed to start over. Even like the bad ESPN games, which we got into on those middle shows, so check those out on YouTube. You can check that out.
Bad.
There's a playlist. But I don't think anybody really considered that to be the playoffs. Apparently the Padres considered it to be the playoffs because they went
the
wild.
The city lost its damn mind.
Good
for them.
What was one of the things you didn't like?
I mean, I didn't like the fact that there was little to no offensive production against a team that's the pitching was right where it needed to be. It was exactly what you wanted out of it. Kershaw was fantastic. Walker Buehler, blister aside, and that home run aside, was good. It's a good ramp up to his next start. Everybody was kind of locked in the bullpen. You get six scoreless innings and two games out of your bullpen. Julio's great, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That offense had no production to it, man. I mean, you look at Max Muncy, Justin Turner, Will Smith, Corey Seager, all those guys combined for like a Smith, Turner, and Muncy combined for an 0 for 19, which is rough,
not what
you
to
say the
see.
Least. Muncy obviously drew a couple walks. JT did not look like playoff JT, but maybe it's because he's like, this isn't playoffs. It doesn't count. This isn't real. You know, maybe we'll get something better out of them. But it does say something about the fact that you did manage to sweep out the Brewers without any offensive production pretty much whatsoever.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts obviously is going to do Mookie Betts things. He always going to be Mookie Betts. Doesn't matter where. Doesn't matter when. Things I did like, I liked the bullpen. I liked the rotation. Yeah. I liked the pitching top to bottom. I liked how everybody looked. Didn't love how Kenley looked. And
he had no teeth.
I did like what Doc said about him, where he's like, ah, stuff didn't look good. I'm going to have to go look back at the tape. And then obviously pulled back on that a little bit.
Yeah, Kenley's game one save, I guess, was a gum job. He got it done.
Wait, he pulled back on that statement? I didn't see that.
He came
part.
Back the next day and said, you know, I looked at it on tape and it looked a lot better. I don't know how you look at it from a field and be like, oh, that's questionable, and then look at the tape and be like, oh, that's good, actually. It was not good.
And post-game
he missed his spots,
is,
his velocity was down, his breaking stuff had no bite to it, everything
post-game
was off.
That's
real, raw, genuine feelings. You know,
that's what he felt.
It was definitely him pulling back and giving him a vote of confidence.
I would say Dave felt the way most fans felt, where I remember you laughing about it. You tweeted about it, how it's like, he thought Kenley was good? Like, looking at the tape, it was worse.
I would have felt better about him sitting in the dugout.
not in the questions that I'm putting down here, but I chose to be positive that day about Kershaw or about Kenley, and you know, saying, hey, he's going to get the job done, and he did. Now learning that they're more likely not going to just hand him the keys to the ninth inning role, even though we've heard that so many times, and you know, to his credit, Dave did do that last year in the awful NLDS in which the Dodgers lost in game five, but he didn't He wasn't in that game until it was out of hand, and he wasn't in that game to be the guy who did what Joe Kelly did, which, you know, may or may not have happened. The world may never know. Thing I liked of the series, though, was Kershaw. Although that plays into good playoff Kershaw. They put up the stats about him being either, you know, really good on games where they're ahead or where they can clinch.
Right.
But usually Kershaw's bad on games that matter the most, the do or die, where if the Dodgers don't do, they die.
I would like to also point out, I don't remember who said it on Twitter. Somebody pointed it out for me, but I called it on accident. I accidentally said Kershaw would throw 8 shutout innings, and he did. I didn't mean to do that, by the way. It was not on purpose.
I was Twitter casting that game a little bit, and it was just, I couldn't believe he was back out in the eighth.
I was of the mind that he was.
I wanted him to, but yeah, I didn't think he would. I wanted this in the past, but he never gets
it. I said it several times. I was like, he better come out to pitch the eighth. He better come out. And then I was like, he's not going to have him come out and pitch the eighth. Then he came out, and I was like, he came out to pitch the eighth. And then
he almost got pulled.
He almost got pulled, and he starts waving him off.
You had that great moment of like, no.
Dude, that's so cool. I had said it. I didn't say it on Twitter, but I had said it to a friend that I was talking to. I was like, that's such a Kobe moment, dude, for him to just be like, get off of my field. Like, I am pitching. Let me finish this out.
Well, yeah,
just
one
be
like, get out of
here. Let's be honest. He's done that before, and
It's gone bad in the past. It's gone bad in the past.
Grandmothers watch this
Grandma's
show.
Watching. Sorry.
By the way, when something goes bad or we say something wrong, that's usually Gary's go-to. He says, I get emails from grandmothers. It's like, hello, I'm grandmother.
This is a grandmother, and I would like to speak to you.
Yes. But yeah, you nailed it on the things I didn't like. I think both you guys did. The offense didn't really tickle my pickle in a way or float my boat or whatever. You know, however the kids say it.
You know who was a little bit of a flew under the radar good during that?
Whoops.
Two people, actually. Two people flew under the radar good for that series. Austin Barnes and Chris Taylor both came through during that series.
Austin Barnes started the party, man. He got a two big time hits in that Kershaw game.
Austin Barnes taught Mookie Betts how to hit.
I saw that. Very proud of him.
It was when they were standing in the same line for jersey sizes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it was the perfect timing.
Digging into some of the comments here. Pixma3MP, which I'm assuming that's what that is, on YouTube, says, Kenley had a great run, but it came to an end. Hey, even if he can be a fireman, and that's what Dave said, Dave's going to be, they're going to kind of throw Kenley in a fireman role. He claimed it as like he might get the bigger outs in the middle of the game, maybe seventh or eighth inning, kind of like that Blake Treinen role. I would imagine him seeing maybe more of the 7, 8, 9 hitters in those type of situations. Don't expect them to get more than three outs. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, when Kenley did his intro press conference in summer camp, when he came back and announced, you know, he had the COVID and all that, and that's why he was late. And he said, the main reason I'm back here is I want to bring, you know, I'm doing it for the fans, which, I mean, fans either take as like, wow, that's messed up, or, oh, yeah, this guy's really in it to win it.
Right.
If he's really in it to win it, then he would be legitimately accepting of the fact, like, look, if we want to win, I might not be the best guy for this job anymore. And if the front office and Dave are claiming that that's what, you know, it's going to be, then you hope to see it, because this is a very, very important series coming up. And I affectionately call this section of the show the worst, because this is about to be a really awful week. We all know Padres, Twitter people. We see
there's
the
a couple
Padres
in the comments right now.
They're annoying. Check it. We're all annoying. We're fans.
All fans are annoying. And if you think any differently, you're not a good fan. I don't know what to tell you.
Of course, you're well versed in the Padres Twitter sphere.
Yeah, Padres fans are the only people that I've ever met that go after my physical appearance, and that's never. It's always my bad opinions that they go after, but now they're going after my physical appearance.
They body shame you?
Yeah,
oh,
well, it's because he's a big
fat,
pork.
That's not nice.
Yeah, be fat, man.
But like, check this out, Porker.
Nice, told me to eat more Krispy Kreme in my mom's basement.
Wow.
Oh man.
Really, the Krispy Kreme's coming to Pasadena, right?
Oh hell yeah. I just need a mom's basement.
I love the things that pop into Gary's head.
Sorry.
Man.
Just donuts.
It just happens.
It's a good thought process.
It just happens. But yeah, there's a lot of weight on this series, I think, for all of us. Definitely the Dodgers, but for us as a fan base.
I think, and I wrote this down because this is the way that I thought about it. If the Dodgers win this series, then it becomes, of course they won, they have the money, they were supposed to win, mm-hmm. they have Mookie Betts, yada, yada, yada. If the Dodgers lose this series, it's the Padres beat you with a team that wasn't supposed to win this year. Like, yeah. there is no win for the Dodgers.
There really
in this.
Isn't. There is expectation.
If the Dodgers win, if the Dodgers sweep out the series, it doesn't matter. Then it's like a, yeah, you were kind of supposed to win. What did you expect?
But the Padres have some pressure on them because they were the they made the biggest splash during the trade deadline.
But
right?
But they also are supposed to compete next year. They weren't supposed to compete this year. It was supposed to be next year that they're supposed to be ready.
Well, we said in the beginning of the year, the Padres are a pitcher away, and they went to go get that pitcher.
They did get that pitcher, yeah. That but pitcher. Without that pitcher.
They ended up actually kind of getting two because Lamet came up and,
just showed up.
But then they lost one because Paddock sucks.
Yeah.
Right. That's also true. Paddock does suck at baseball.
That's what she said. I don't use that button very often, so I just wanted to use that. But, in theory, the Dodgers have the team that should take this series going away, but we can't take away credit because we're not going to troll like we did that one time to perfection troll.
Thank you for the views. We appreciate you.
You can't go in there and just let the Padres play. The Padres don't have anything to lose, really. If they win, they get to slam the Dodgers. They get to slam Dodger fans. If they lose, it's like, hey, we probably shouldn't even been here yet. And that's
they've already outperformed. They can play pretty relaxed, which makes them a little bit dangerous in my mind. They don't have a lot to lose. They weren't really supposed to be here yet, and now they are, and now they're succeeding and beating a lot of teams, and they're exciting. They're a fun team to watch. I will say Fernando Tatis is really good for baseball. I love the fact that I see him in every single thing, every promo, everything that's out there. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that they talk about him so much because, personally, I grew up around people who were not baseball fans. I grew up, all of my friends were either basketball or football fans. No one cared about baseball because they didn't play, because it's not fun. It's not cool. But then you look at Tatis and you're like, that's a guy that could bring some flair to things. That's a guy that can make things fun. That's a guy that could make kids look at that and be like, I want to play baseball. That's cool. I want to do that.
Lucas, my son, was just like, who's that?
He's
cool. And I was like, at first, I was like, nobody.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Then afterwards, I explained to him, and he's like, he's fun. You know, we watched a YouTube video on him. I think it was Passan did a clip on him. So I saw it.
Yeah.
So he's a good guy. I mean, he just seems like a good person.
Tatis is like Tim Anderson, those types. Yep. They want to have fun playing the game they grew up having fun doing. And you know, there's going to be those people. There's always going to be those people that try to be the old guard. Eventually, they will get pushed out of baseball, and it will be fun. You will have bat flips. You'll have kids wanting to come back to the game. And Tatis is Mookie Betts said it today. He's a star. He's a superstar in the game.
Yep.
And for Mookie Betts to be saying that because he was asked the question like, Mookie, you're seeing somebody who's like you in Fernando Tatis. He's like, he's not like me. He's himself.
He's a guy.
and you love to hear that because, man, Mookie's is great in those pressers, man.
Dude, I don't think you could ever get Mookie to say like a negative thing. No. I just don't. He just knows exactly what to say at the right times. And I think it honestly is pretty genuine. Like a lot of times you can feel it from those.
He's some hardest of those other on stars. Himself. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. He looks at himself and he's like, I should have gone 20 for 20 this series, not 12 for 20 or whatever. You know,
Puppy Butt 310 says Jeff Kent is not a fan of Fernando Tatis.
Jeff
Jr.
Kent is at home choking a puppy right now, thinking about what Tatis is doing on the field. He is not happy.
But so this will be the third time, right? The third time these clubs have matched up this year. There was 2 4-game series. No, this will be the fourth time they matched up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there was the first one in San Diego, the CT 93.3 smooth jazz one where he threw out to save Kenley's bacon of all things.
Because it was a 3, a 4, and a 3 series.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Dustin May took away this home series with that pitch against Machado. That was the second series.
So I mean, thinking about Dustin May, I don't know if Dustin May gets in this series as a starter. We'll find out at some point. But I think they had so much exposure to him this year. He pitched against them pods so much this year. You might want to limit D-May a little bit, but he also got to get him in the series at some point. But this series has had ups and downs both ways, but it's always been electric. The Padres brought it a lot this year, and the Dodgers go into these series with a ho-hum, hey, we've been here before, because guess what? They've been there before.
Many times.
A whole bunch. Everybody on that team has been there a whole bunch, save for somebody like Victor... Victor Gonzalez, but like you were saying, hey, you know, that works for a lot of different teams, having that rookie come up out of nowhere, just dumb luck his way into closing some games or something like that, a la K-Rod 2002. But the Padres tried to get that momentum when they won Monday's World Series that one time on Trent Grisham's home run off his pimp job on Clayton Kershaw, but then they went on to go like 5-5 to end the season. Dodgers went 8-2. They did what they were supposed to do, and after that, a little bit after that series, I think we talked about it a little bit on the show, Mookie Betts was talking about that series and looks at it, and Mookie doesn't sugarcoat. He hasn't learned the Dodger mm-hmm. way of just kind of saying nothing without saying, while saying something. Like for example, Walker Buehler. You can watch the latest video on Dodgers Nation YouTube where Walker Buehler very clearly did not want to be there doing any sort of interview, but Mookie will give you an honest answer, and Mookie was talking about, hey, that game, it was a punch on the face, mm-hmm. and you saw it. And the Dodgers responded. They came back. They had that little bit of energy. You know, they maybe came out of their game plan and trying to be that like rah-rah, yeah, way to get a hit kind of guy, which is not the Dodgers' plan.
Yeah,
and that's today. Mookie was asked about that. Like, are you guys going to try to match their level? And this is Mookie Betts live here for the first time on Blue Heaven. It's not live, but here it is.
Mookie, we've all heard you say that you felt like the Dodgers got punched in the face in that first game in San Diego. What do you think the message was that you sent back to that team in the next two games and also for this series?
I mean, just that we're here to play, you know, we're not going to just keep getting punched in the mouth. You know, we can come back at you. And obviously this is a new series. And so we have to come out with some energy ready to go because, you know, they will.
Do you have to try to match their energy because they play with a lot, or do you just have to be the steadying selves that you guys play with?
I think we just have to be the steady selves that we who we are. I mean, we can't they have a lot of energy, a lot of young guys over there. And so, you know, that's tough to match. You know, we don't need to play their game, we need to play ours.
I love that quote. We don't need to play their game, we need to play ours. Mookie Betts.
Yeah, I mean, nice kid. That's not to take away anything from the Padres. They thrive off of that energy. They motivated. You can see it during the course of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. When they're down, their team is down, and they stay down. But when they're hyped up and energetic and Machado or Tatis get them going and get them fired up, they go on a roll and they tear things up. It works really well for their team. The Dodgers aren't like that. And that's not to say they did used to be when they had a younger core. They had a younger group of guys that were. I mean, they have like guys like Verdugo who are always fired up,
or Puig. You know, those
kind of when your main guy is Mookie Betts, a guy who's just historically not like a fired up, like rah rah type of dude. You're gonna kind of mimic that. You're gonna mirror his personality. You're gonna do exactly what he does mm-hmm. because he is the leader of the team now. When you look at it, he leads the offense. He leads the whole team. Everybody follows his example. So it's not to say one's right or wrong. It works for different teams. But when you start trying to mimic that from another team, like, hey, they're really fired up and energetic, maybe we need to be. And if you've ever been a part of a dugout like that, that's really forced and awkward.
Yeah.
Horrible. Yeah. Terrible. It's so uncomfortable. Mm. The Padres love it, and they do a really good job of it. When the Dodgers are doing it, you can tell it's kind of like a, let's do this.
Yeah, when it's forced, that's one thing. But like if it's a softball game and now everybody's mad at each other, so there's yelling over each other for the hell of it, that's fun and those work.
Those are important.
I mean, they end in a fight after, you know, when you guys are slapping hands on the lineup after the game. But yeah, for the Dodgers, it just doesn't play, having that forced energy. So I'll ask you guys now and everybody watching on the stream, feel free to participate, and we'll take some of your comments because I know we've already been bad with the comments. This tends to happen when Gary's here.
Sorry.
Gary's the comments. It's okay. We like you. Just pause. Sad face. The Dodgers need this series
mm-hmm.
for a multitude of reasons.
To move on.
But who wants this series more between the two? And expanding on that, does the Dodgers lax play, we'll call it lax, kind of chillax play, work in a potential five-game series, five straight days against the Padres? And I see a no from Gary. Doesn't play?
Yeah, it doesn't play. You got it. You got to get your energy level up. We see what happens with another LA team when they think they're all good and they come in to game three and mess things up. That's what happens because someone's going to turn into Jimmy Butler on that damn team. Someone's going to turn. It's going to be Tatis. It's going to be Machado. I have a feeling it's going to be Machado just because. You know?
That makes sense.
And it's just something that...
I got a dollar Machado steps on somebody's ankle.
He's going to do something. There's going to be a story about Machado for sure. But I think overall, like, the Dodgers have the energy. I'd say lax is not the right word.
It's not the right word.
Yeah, it's more like they have a more mature approach to the game.
It's a businessman's approach to the game.
Yeah, which is not bad and it's not fun. Like, I love the way Mookie does it. And you guys know I study the way Mookie tries to lead his team.
Yeah.
He does. I mean, the whole thing with the barrels are overrated, he leads that cheer now. It used to be JT. Yeah. But now Mookie has everybody around him doing it. It's like, if you don't do it, Mookie's going to, like, just snarl at you, right? But he's doing little subtle things to encourage the team's energy, and it's really great to see. So I actually have to ask you a question. Do you think that Grisham pimp job was the punch that the Dodgers needed at that moment in the season? Because remember, we were sucking after game 30.
Yeah.
And then
they did ride that momentum of winning those next two games and kind of going from there. They've open air admitted it that they needed that. Even Robertson said, yeah, we kind of needed that punch in the face to sort of get it going. And, you know, we've talked about it a number of times. The Dodgers are the best team in the league, but if you have that sort of like wild card momentum riding into it, you have that chip on your shoulder that plays up a whole lot more doing into this very, very volatile playoff situation, and there's so many new variables where, you know, we can go on and on about that, where maybe even playing at the neutral site is good for the Dodgers, because when we're down a run, think about game 7 2017, we're down immediately and the fans were taken out of it right away. Now it's always going to be balanced, so maybe they don't wear that on their shoulders. But back to the other series of questions and you know, talking about the lack of better terms and the lax play, trying to match their intensity. You have the right guy going on the mound in game 1 with Walker Buehler, who's probably the only guy on the Dodger staff that can match that. Is that how do you see that? How does that work for you?
I feel like that's the reason why he's getting the ball game 1 each series. I think that he brings an intensity that nobody else. I mean, you could argue Dustin May has a certain level of intensity about him, but it's not nearly the same. It's not nearly, doesn't nearly carry the same weight.
Because he's had a strikeout ball.
It's true. But the way Walker carries himself out there, it's just like the crap that he talks without talking directly to players is amazing. He just has this way of getting fired up in big situations that makes you feel like you're in this game no matter what's going on. So I think you need that from guys. Kershaw's never going to be that guy, and that's okay. He's never been designed to be that guy. Mm-hmm. He is a guy who's going to go out and pitch and do his job.
Yeah.
But Walker will say stuff, and he will speak, and he will be excited, and he will wear his emotions out on his sleeve. And that's something that the Dodgers need in game 1. You need to set that tone. You need to get going right from the start. You don't have time in a 5-game series to pick things up. You got to pick it up right off the bat. You got to hit the ground running. I think the Padres do have an advantage in that sense. Mm-hmm. I think they're always going to hit the ground running no matter what, but we'll see. We'll see how it works out. I think Buehler is the good choice to go
game 1.
I
like that point about Kershaw. You know, we've always looked at Kersh as this ace and this leader of the staff, which he absolutely is. But you throw back, you know, 5-6 years into the Kershaw-Greinke era, and I definitely often looked at Greinke as like, him being the number 2 was a prime spot for him because he doesn't like the spotlight. He doesn't like to do all this kind of stuff. Neither does Kershaw. So maybe him being that guy at the top isn't quite playing to his strength per se. So
yeah, I don't think so.
Maybe finally giving game 1 to somebody like Walker, because even Rue, shout out to Rue right here, nice kid, friend of the show. Yeah. Shout out to Stan. Even Rue getting, you know, game 1 last year, he's also just very businesslike. So having that somebody that could really step up to the table, set the tone like that, along at the same time at the top of the lineup with somebody like Mookie Betts, that while he might not get a hit in his first at bat, you know he's probably going to drop 2 hits by the end of the game if he can see a starting pitcher 3 times in a game, which is fun.
You like
being able to do that. Digging into the comments a little bit here. Staying on Mookie, Rebel Punk 13 on YouTube says, Mookie leads us to the promised land. Norma says, Mookie, you need to win the series. She's putting it all on Mookie, and I can respect that because he already has that weight on him. And he seems to do okay with it.
Yeah.
We have Lamet Slider in the chat, which is always great to have you in. I know you're a Padres fan, but you're here every week, and that's a lot more than I can say about a lot of people. So I appreciate you being here regardless. I know you're saying that we're missing Will Myers. We're not missing Will Myers. He's good.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it. We haven't broke down the
he hit a home run.
We'll get into the lineup a little bit. Yeah, we'll talk about some of your guys a little deeper if that's what you're here for. We'll get there in a second.
Yeah.
Mrs. Me3 says, never thought I'd be a fan of an athlete, but Mookie is a good dude, and I think I'm a fan. So we'll give
Mookie is a good dude.
Mookie is a good – nah, I got nothing. I got nothing. I was trying to think of a shirt for you, Gary. My bad.
Mookie Beast.
Mookie Beast. Puppy Butt reminds us that Manny has a $300 million bet riding on the Padres winning the World Series over the Dodgers. That's with
shout out Moshe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moshe, friend of the show. We haven't seen him in a while, but you know what? Maybe he's doing
drugs. $300 million things.
he's
making more bets.
He's preparing for his money to be transferred.
Tom says, Tom's looking ahead. Tom Gold on Periscope's looking ahead, says bring on the Marlins, because you know the Marlins are going to do it. The Marlins are in the playoffs, they win. That's just how it goes.
Marlins are so fun to watch right now. I was watching them during that Cubs series, and I was like, there's no way they win this series. And then they took both, and I was like, this is a really fun team to watch. I love teams that overperform in the playoffs. It's just really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. It is really fun. Like the Nationals, they definitely overperformed in the playoffs.
Respect. All right. Kind of moving ahead a little bit here. So we got the matchup. We've talked a lot about maybe less important things or really important things, but we got to look at the advantage. Somebody's going to win this series. The Padres' advantage comes if they get healthy. It seems like they're going to get probably Clevinger back, but even if he's back, he's probably not going to be healthy. He's not going to be anywhere near 100%. So that's a thing. But we're talking about Dodgers' advantages first. One big advantage for the Dodgers is, one, we don't have some embarrassing kids rapping for our team, because, oof, that was Bow Wow rough.
To be fair, I'm going to probably just take a gamble here, just take a guess and throw this out here and say that all Padres fans thought that was a little cringy, too. I'm just going to – I don't want to speak for all Padres fans, but I think they probably look at that and they're like, oh, my God, this is getting spread around.
I was warned not to turn up the volume, so I didn't, so I didn't listen to it.
It's unfortunate.
Did you ever watch The Office? You didn't. You were not an Office guy, huh?
It's about Electric City Scranton.
Yeah.
Worthy. Not the same. Somebody asked us if we could remake it. I told them we weren't white enough to do that. Yeah.
Absolutely not. But two, the biggest advantage for the Dodgers outside of the talent is having no days off in the NLDS. If it goes all five games, we know the bodies the Dodgers can throw at them.
Lumet Slider says, yeah, that was cringe. We understand. We understand that it doesn't stand for the entire fan base. It's just two weird kids. We get it.
Yeah.
We've been there. Trust me.
But the potential five games seems to play up that much more for LA.
I mean, the further you get into a postseason, the further it gets about depth, the less it matters the nine guys that you throw out there or the three starting pitchers that you throw out there. It really does matter, depth. So when you're talking about depth for a team, obviously plays out over the course of a 162-game season, but it's super important come playoff time. Obviously a first year of a wild card series, things are a little bit different. You can skate by in the first round, see a couple different teams who have made it by that probably shouldn't have made it by. But you start looking at five-game series, and that's where things start to balance out. Things start to make more sense. Things start to add up. The guys that you predicted to win are probably going to win. And you get into a seven-game series, I think, all the more, obviously. But I think we'll start to see it balance out a little bit. I think when you look at the four-game series that they had with the Padres, you started to see it at the tail end. You started to see the Padres wearing thin on guys that they had. And I think that's what we'll run into this year, especially if Clevinger and Lamet aren't good, aren't 100%. I mean, still TVG on that one. We'll still wait that one out, obviously. But
today, John Morosi was on the MLB Network that I saw, and he was talking about, they had Clevinger in the bullpen. It looked like he was hucking it. They say that between the two, him and Lamet, Lamet's probably a no, but it looks more and more like Clev is going to be on there. But still, getting back to my earlier point, it's like, even if he's on there, if somebody makes the roster, if you're not even at 80%, maybe he doesn't have the stuff to get by without his best stuff.
Yeah, and obviously it depends on where his health's at. I mean, he could be very well at 100% all of a sudden that we just don't know about. I don't think he is, but also the fact that he was throwing full intensity on Sunday. Was it Sunday that he was throwing full intensity?
Thereabout, yeah.
It makes it seem a little bit strange that he would be going game one, which they've talked about. Maybe game two or game three makes more sense for me, but I don't know, man. The Padres tend to do stuff that I don't understand, and it tends to
work out. Game three is the most important.
They could very well be for them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, game one and three are the most important games when you look at a five-game series. Game one, three, five, all very important games. I think when it comes down to it, if they have the chance to throw him out game one, they're going to take that chance because you can't go Davies game one. It doesn't match up in terms of timeline for him. You can go Paddock, but I mean, if I'm a Padres fan, and I am not a Padres fan, but I don't want Chris Paddock starting a ball game for me. I don't understand why they haven't.
As a Dodger fan, you want him starting.
I love Chris Paddock. I think he's amazing. He should start game one. He's the ace of that staff.
I will say he's going to be pitching with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder this game because I think he's pretty pissed off about how poorly his last game went.
He probably has a jacket that has chips on shoulders.
That being said, I've said for a very long time that he is a league average pitcher, and he's proved time and time again to be a league average pitcher. And I think Padres fans understand that, and they're going, yep, we're moving on from him. We got better guys. We got way more guys that can get the job done, and they're going to go with that.
Yeah, how quick did they get off
I tried to tell him last year, man. I tried. And then his agent came after me. He's like, he pitched good in high school.
Oh, his agent's watching. Your client isn't mentally tough enough to pitch this league.
I don't think he's watching. He just came after my my tweet last year.
Man, poor kid.
That guy's too intense. It's like a Russell Westbrook approach. It's like too intense. He needs to chill a little bit and then absorb some feedback.
He found a way to get in his own head with his intensity. I don't even know how you do that, but he did it.
The one thing that's going to play up for the Dodgers is, sure, the Padres' bullpen is greatly improved. They went out and picked up half the league in the trade market. Take pitches. Get those relievers in games early. Make the relievers work so they're not available in game three, not available in game four, and that's how you make things happen. The Dodgers in this series are going to be able to do what makes them a fantastic, an elite, maybe the best regular season team, and that is just out-depth and outlast everybody else because they're all going to get burnt out, and the Dodgers are still like, okay, cool, we have Dylan Floro who's here and ready to go.
Especially since you have the consecutive games this year like you haven't had in the past. You've had off days in between. This year, there is no break. You get Sunday off between the championship series and the World Series. It's going to be just straight on through, plow through as ahead. You get in the World Series, their schedule breaks in, but it's going to be different this year. It's going to be a lot of relying on depth. You can't throw your bullpen as often as you would. I know the Padres have relied heavily on throwing their bullpen in consecutive days or in consecutive games. But when you're looking at a five-game series, if you're playing five straight days, you got to really work that. You got to really be good at managing that bullpen, which, by the way, does not play into our favor in terms of managing the bullpen. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Not particularly. So before we get into lineup changes and maybe some things that we'd want to see, we'll wait till doing our pregame show to break down the roster, but it does look like one change will happen. Dylan Floro is going to be back on the roster because there will be a need for another relief arm. I don't know if either Matt Beatty or Terrence Gore will be off of the roster. It depends on whether or not you value a productive left-handed bat off the bench or somebody who could pinch run with elite speed and a good outfield defensive change, which you don't really need in this outfield unless you hate Pollock like Brooke does. But digging into a few of the comments here, we got a Mookie shirt idea for you from a sale loaner on YouTube, Gary. It's my bets on Mookie.
I like it, Eddie.
Eddie,
do your thing.
Where did I see it? Santiago says Belly's going to go Super Saiyan during the NLDS. I thought his thing is NLCS, though. I saw one that was saying that we get owned by Garrett Richards.
But he's see that earlier.
He's in the bullpen now, though. I don't know why they moved him to the bullpen, but
he just had a little bit of a fall off towards the end of the season. I think he started to miss on some stuff, but
I love this
point. He did have our number during the season. I'll give him that.
867-5309. Call. It's Jenny. She's my secretary. Katie says, I want the Dodgers versus Marlins in the NLCS so we could beat Don Mattingly's team, to be honest. Oh, man. You know what? We're not going to look ahead. I think that's hubris, and McKenna might get mad at us. We're not going to hubris.
Hubris is a thing now.
It is.
They've officially put that in my head now.
I think that's, I'm pretty sure it's in the dictionary, and it's only about baseball and sports Twitter.
Just
sports.
It has affected my Twitter casting.
Yeah, because you go hard on the hubris with that when you're tweeting those games, man. Manny Mota is in the stream, and we did already talk about the Padres fans. I don't know if you'd call it dissing the Dodgers. I mean, they tried. There was an attempt. That's the meme. There was an attempt. I think that's, What else we got? Mookie Betts, our friend Mookie Betts in the stream center. I lost way too many brain cells watching those two kids trying to rap. Oh,
Padres,
man.
Padres fans deserve better than that. That's all I'll say about that.
Deborah Young says depth is the name of the game. And Norma says runs win the ring. That sounds like a Doug thing. Make sure you guys stay tuned after every game for your host Doug McCain on the DN postgame show. We're going to break it all down.
Katie over on Facebook says, can we have a virtual cake eating party when the Dodgers win the series? And that's pretty good because the Padres thing is the take.
I will totally buy cakes. I'll buy a chocolate cake with yellow frosting.
That is a little bit of a flex.
That just sounds like you honestly want that.
I just want a chocolate cake.
Yeah. With ice cream from Fossilman's.
Yeah.
Can I have cheese pie?
Oh, I want cheesecake too.
No, so if they lose, we can also eat cake.
Yeah. Yes. Can we have sad cake?
Too? Oh, we're going to totally
sad
cake.
Happy cake. Whatever.
It would be so much fun.
All of the cake. Tune in live to watch us eat cake.
You're saying we could have our cake
with cans of whipped cream?
And cry.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yep.
I hope we get happy cake. Hey, there it is. New hashtag. Hashtag happy cake.
Hope we get happy cake.
Retweet this. Whatever you're watching, retweet this video you're watching right now and just hashtag happy cake. Nobody will have any idea what's going on.
Got to really be here for the full show, you know?
Stay Blunted 925 on YouTube says Urias is going to be a key in long relief, especially with no days off. Urias, for me, is my game four starter.
They say he's putting back in the rotation, right?
Yeah, that's what Dave said. He will get a spot. He should get a turn in the rotation. I think they're going to lean Gonsolin for that number three spot. I would hope.
They better. Even, his stuff definitely plays up at that stadium way more than Dustin May's stuff does, by the way.
His stuff plays up more than Walker. No May.
He is going to, I think, piggyback Walker Buehler game one. That's my guess.
Oh, really?
That's my guess.
That guy. If you get four out of walk, just walk away.
Keep that
blister unmoist.
Get four out of Walker, get four out of Dustin,
so and sorry,
get one
everybody.
From whoever you want closing that first game. That's my course of action. And I think that's good. I think it works out that way.
James Brown in the stream says Dodgers 2020. Yes, that's exactly what is happening.
That
James
is where
Brown.
We are.
Appreciate you, bud. All right, lineup changes. I'm of the opinion, and I'm going to throw them up because I didn't take them down off of here. I threw my lineup back up. So I think I have no problem save for changing the starting pitcher because I decided to be bold and go with Kirsch.
Idiot.
I like my lineup. Maybe they'll do the thing again where they flip Pollock and Taylor because that's what happened in game one. We know game two that Smith is going to be at DH. We know superstar slugger Mookie Betts, greatest player of our generation. Not Mookie Betts, the other one. Austin Barnes, greatest player of our generation, is going to slide into the lineup and get some work done when Dave is Dave's friend Clayton's on the mound. See what I did there?
That's good.
Yeah. I have a way of doing that. But I think that lineup really worked. They find a way to eventually get some hacks in the game. Are you sticking with your lineup?
Yes.
Essentially.
And yes. Okay. So, I mean, we've talked about this before. I do not think that the Dodgers are going to carry three catchers this series, surprisingly. It's going to be if you can call it bold. You can't really call it bold very much. I think that Austin Barnes handled the bat well enough to justify them going a game with keeping Will Smith on the bench and ready to go in game two. It's literally just one game. They can get by without it. It doesn't hurt them at all.
Well, it's not like they can't pull him out of the DH spot. You just have to insert a pitcher hitting again.
Yeah.
So it's like, sure.
Why not?
There are emergency guidelines
so
available.
I think they're going to pivot a little bit, and they're going to go with some flexibility somewhere else, either in the bullpen or as an extra bench piece, whatever it might be. I think it makes sense. I think it's way more useful. If you're talking about a five-game series, you don't want to sacrifice one roster spot for one game of a five-game series because that's the only reason that Ruiz would be there, honestly, as an emergency role in game two. With that being said, still like my lineup construction, still think it's really good. I still love the idea of getting Edwin Rios at bats, especially against some of these right-handed Padres pitchers. I like him facing Paddock a lot. I really like him facing Clevinger. I think that plays up huge, and I love him facing Davies. I think it just everything about that screams an Edwin Rios breakout postseason series, and I'm going to keep leaning on it. I leaned on it a little bit in the Brewer series, but I'm going to keep leaning on it.
Echoing your thought about Ruiz being a wasted spot, you could say the same thing with Terrence Gore. Those are two kind of wasted spots. Each offer different values, but to have both of them, it's probably not it.
I would rather take a good bullpen piece over both of those guys, honestly.
So this is the good one then for Gary. If there is going to be one change, should Max Muncy still be in that cleanup spot? And I know you've had problems with it. So
look, I'm a huge Max Muncy fan. I love Max Muncy. I love the way he brings it. I love the story of him coming back, just becoming a star. But look, man, this year we can't sacrifice it. Putting him at the cleanup spot has ruined the momentum that Mookie through JT is setting up for us, you know, and then you get Bellinger in there, and then like maybe a struggling Will Smith right now. That middle is not as strong as you would like anymore.
It has potential to be, fantastic.
It's a great fantasy league setup, but it's not making sense right now. And this Padres team is so dangerous. We need to set up our best right now. And if moving Max down is the first move and he still struggles, then bring in Edwin and have him play first.
Oh, taking him out, and he
because I like something. Pollock. I like Pollock at DH.
AJ Pollock's been great, you know, with the bat.
Yeah,
I loved Dave, which was like it was one of those things you had to almost triple take it because Dave on I think it was after the game or it might have been on Sunday he did a workout day press conference and he talked about liking Max Muncy's at bats. He's like, yeah, he took some really good swings. He just didn't make contact. I was like, well, I take some really good swings.
Like, I can look great swinging. Yeah. I'm going to be way off and I'm going to miss it by a lot. I could be out here
daddy hacking.
Good doing it. I thought that was the strangest comment of his entire press conference.
That's one of those things you say and you're like, oh no, come back.
He said it and he was like, oh shit.
He did work, and that was the thing I had talked about last Monday previewing the wild card. It's like I do like Max there in that four spot just because you know he could probably run into one. He was not that far off from hitting a home run in game two, I think it was.
No.
He can run into one, but he also works his walks. He did take two walks in that series. I think they were both in one game.
Edwin Rios can run into one.
Yeah, they both can run into one, but there's definitely more potential swing and miss than Eddie Rios, and why not just get them both going?
I know I am all for Max Muncy getting it going. If he can find a way to get it going, if you got five games to get him going in the next series, I'm all for it. Whatever, I'll take the stress of that, but over the course of a 60-game season, obviously it's not a full year. It's hard to judge. It's hard to understand where you're going to go from here. But I have not loved what I've seen from him all season long. He's had stretches where he's looked okay, but there's never been a stretch where you're like, oh, yeah, he's locked in. He's finding it. It's been like, I'm going to hit a home run, and then I'm going to strike out a few times.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit a home run, and I'm going to pop out a few times.
Yeah. There was a 10-game stretch in the middle of the season. I think it was August like 28th or August 26th or something through September 1st, whatever. That's not enough days. August 23rd through the 1st, he batted .333, OPS over 1,000, and he, in that time, they finally dropped him to mostly like 5 and lower. He batted third egregiously at the end of the tail end of that hot streak and then tapered off again because he was getting different kind of pitches. But
was that in Colorado?
I don't remember. I don't remember where the series was.
I didn't check. Someone check that for me.
I think Colorado was a little bit later. Maybe. I don't know. We should probably look it up. If we had a guy. We need stats guy. Where's Rick? No.
Zed, get on it.
But, yeah, he was batting fifth and lower. So maybe, flipping him around, throwing Belly back in the four spot, see what happens. It's an option. I would not be surprised to see Dave maybe shake it up and take Max out of there. But it also seems to go against Dave's style of sticking with our guys. Our guys got us here. They've done it before.
He seems to also be deviating from that, though, too.
A little bit.
He's not been that guy this year. He's been like, hey, I don't care who our guys have been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who has got us here. What have you done for me lately? Bruce Dark, get out there, pitch the ninth. We got to get this done. And I like how he tried to use the excuse during that, by the way, of those guys saw Kenley the night before. And it's like none of those guys did except for Yelich. That's it. One guy did.
You're saying he did it to Cody first. Cody got the treatment first to drop him down to seventh.
Mm-hmm.
So he got the treatment first. Then Dave was like, oh, nobody got too mad. I'm going to do this to Kenley. And then now
he's
I can get away with this, And now he's going to go after Max. I think it's a smart move,
And our friend Deborah Young over on YouTube agrees. I love Max, but I agree he needs to be moved down in the lineup. Again, the lineup's so deep, you're not going to be like, oh, my God, Max Muncy's down there. We're never going to win a ball game.
You had Max. You had A.J. Pollock hitting ninth.
Yeah.
He's been one of the most productive hitters of the year, so.
Second leadoff hitter.
Listen, doesn't matter where we're at in the lineup. It's going to be a powerful part of the lineup. Even Austin Barnes has proven me wrong in saying that he can hit a Major League Baseball. So it is what it is. We just have to find the right rhythm. We have to string together hits.
We got to find it.
And that's going to be a huge thing. Another factor we haven't really talked about is the ballpark factor. Pretty much wild new territory, new ground for both teams playing at this Globe Life Field in Arlington. They're going to have the roof open. It looks weird playing at Lowe's. It looks a little funky. There's some undulation out there, which I'm assuming plays up a little bit more for the Padres because they're used to weird looking outfields and cuts and all that. But another thing Mookie was talking about today was, you know, there's a lot more grass, so you're probably going to find a lot more hits in this series,
right?
Which, yeah, hope the Dodgers can learn to capitalize on and not make it the other way around, because you know, for the first two games, Padres are going to be out there daddy hacking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it in the Rangers series with the Dodgers. You definitely saw it in the first game of that series.
I missed that whole series.
Well, in the first game of the series, they were taking some big hacks out there at Lowe's Stadium or whatever you want to call it. But I will say it looks a lot better with the roof open. Like, that stadium looks significantly better with its roof open. I don't think it should have been built with a roof, honestly. There's not that much rain in Texas. But with that being said, it is a big-ass field, and there's a lot of ground to cover. There's a lot of empty spaces there. It feels probably bigger than it actually is, but it does hold the ball really well. Mm-hmm. Padres did go off there. I will say that. The Padres absolutely went. That's where Slam Diego started.
That is where Slam Diego started, because of old Cry Woodward.
Because he cried about the...
They had a lead. Why did they try to do more points? Chris Woodward, 2020.
What's the ballpark dimensions over at Arlington?
Big.
That many.
Like 415?
It's at least this big.
415, 420, 425?
It's 420.
420.
69 down the lines.
329 left, 372 left center, 407 center, 374 right center, 326 down the right field line.
It's going to be hot this week, too.
It is going to be hot.
88 to 93.
Cooler than here.
Yeah, it's cooler than here, but I don't know. Wait, it's going to be humid. It's hot and humid over there, huh? The ball doesn't fly as well, or does it fly well?
52% humidity today in Arlington, Texas. The, by, oh, so then the ball that's does like, okay. not fly as well yeah. during humidity. Humidity.
But it's 52.
I think...
how do you say that?
So they're not going to see a lot of home runs then.
Humidities.
Well, it's a big field, and combined with the fact that there is a lot of humidity in the air. I said it right that time. Yeah. We did it. I don't if think they you'll play see with as
the,
many.
Does humidity come in if they close the roof? And who dictates if they close it or
it's only being closed if the weather is bad.
They're trying to have it open so it lets all the corona out, right. I believe.
Got it. Okay.
Because, segue into here, which is, I think we had something a little bit later in the show, but we can bring it up right now since we're talking about the ballpark. Lamet Slider, our Padres friend, asking you if we think the 1,100,000 or the
11,000?
11,500 fans that will be allowed in the next series and in the World Series, will that affect the game? You would imagine it's a different animal. Finally,
yeah, I mean,
having
if you
fans.
Have average Marlins attendance at your game, yeah, I mean, it changes things
hey,
up a little bit.
That's a sellout for the Marlins. What are you
it's
talking about?
Pretty good. I think the fact. I mean, obviously, I'm not a player, and I don't know, but I will say that 11,000 is not that many fans in a major league ballpark that holds 50,000 or so fans. Yeah, it's definitely noticeable that there are people there, obviously. I think the bigger difference maker in this is the fact that their families can be there. I think that is different. This is the first time all season that they're...
That could either be a good or a bad thing, though.
I mean, the only team that would be, like, shocked would be the Rays. They'd be like, wow, there's so many fans here.
That's true. The Rays, unfortunately, don't get a lot of fans.
They know how to play in an empty stadium. Yeah.
I'm doing that thing where I'm fixated on the line I had because you said you're not a player, and I said, yeah, he's not a player. He just crushes a lot.
People don't understand that because they didn't understand death row.
Right there, boom. That yeah, it's a good point.
That's why.
See, that's how you rap, San Diego nerds.
You should write your own rap. I won't be in it.
Yo.
I don't want to be there.
And moving right along, John wants us to raffle off a Jim Beam bottle. We cannot because that is booze, and I don't think we can do that. But yeah, fans, getting back to that, fans will definitely make a difference. Time will tell if it's a good or a bad difference. I would imagine, I especially with family being there, I'd probably imagine worse. I imagine
families
teams
make
being,
things worse.
Yeah.
You know, I think with fans there, the players are going to focus a little bit more because they're not going to be chirping as much because they don't want the fans to hear everything anymore.
Yeah.
You would imagine. You know?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're right.
Jim Bob notes about the ballpark. Jim
that
Bob.
Was not Chris Deltz. That was not Biggie Smalls who said crush lot.
Can I forgot you, who it was.
Kids these days, man.
It's, I forgot. Fat, it's a It's not.
Oh, all of a sudden.
I was going to say.
If not, only we had.
I was going to say Fat Joe, but it's not Fat Joe.
No, he
Joe.
Came out later.
Big Pun.
Big Pun.
There it is. Big Pun. Big Pun. It ain't Biggie Smalls.
That was a fail by
it's
you.
It's Big, though.
Sorry, I had it. I was like, Big Pun or something like that. Yeah.
Chris, you were close. It was Big.
There was a Big somewhere in there. But Jim Bob over on Periscope pointing out that it's hot in Texas. That's why there is a roof. So maybe there should be the roof closed.
There wasn't one at the last Texas.
There was not one at the last Texas. And that ball went.
Maybe they were like, oh, crap, we got to put a roof on this sucker. I hate playing here.
Notably, we call it Lowe's. Doug calls it Costco, that ballpark out there. So they both play. I mean, there's no, but there's no outdoor section at Costco. They don't have
$1.50 hot dogs.
They don't have, well, there's that. That's some of them, most of them, but they don't have the. Hatfield said moist air. See, that's a guy who listens to the whole show. They don't have you know, the landscaping section. I'm thinking of like Lowe's, Home Depot. So,
I got you.
There's grass. Follow.
Yeah, there's grass out there.
Grass at the new Doge? Oh, Dodgers. Okay, I see what you're doing there, James Brown. Mm. Thank you. Off the rails. Next fun part where we get to point out that our team is better as we look. We're coming up on the hour here, so we'll have to speed it up a bit. But it's playoffs. You know, this is fun long shows, I guess. Playoffs? I'm a playoffs?
Playoffs?
Padres and Dodgers, position-by-position breakdown. I'm going to throw this up right here. The Dodgers win in the outfield because they got Betts, Bellinger, and Pollock. And honestly, what they have really no left fielder for the Padres. It's been Profar, who's been a lifelong flop. Will Myers can't really field that well. I don't even know who they have in center there. Thank you.
Grisham. Tatis.
Oh, Grisham's playing center. There's a Grisham.
Tatis. That's my answer.
Tatis playing center field, too.
Tatis. Because that's how MLB wants me to think.
Tatis?
Tatis.
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 Fernando Tatis Jr. But I don't know. You're looking at that on the screen. It's given the Padres the bullpen advantage. It's given them the first base advantage. Machado and Tatis on the left side there at short and third, or third and short, if we're being accurate, have the advantage. But it's Dodgers everywhere else. Catcher, second base, pitcher, all around the outfield, and even at DH with Edwin Rios there. Does that feel pretty fair to you?
Not if we have
I mean, if you're looking at around the lineup, you got Pollock going up against Tommy Pham, I guess, is their everyday left fielder, mm-hmm. I guess, during the playoffs. That makes sense.
Pollock can do some damage.
Bellinger against Grisham. I'm still going to take Bellinger every day of the mm-hmm. week over that. Mookie Betts is obviously Mookie Betts, and he's always going to be Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
I would probably, recency, I would argue, defensively, Austin Nola is a little bit better of a defensive catcher than Will Smith is,
but the bat.
With the bat, absolutely plays up during the playoffs. I think Machado and Tatis is fair. I think you got third base. You got Justin Turner, who's older than a lot of things right now. and then Tatis is Tatis. And I would definitely give him the edge over Seager in terms of what he brings to the table every single day and the energy that he brings. CT over at second, I think, is arguable with Cronenworth.
Yeah.
Because Cronenworth had a... I don't remember what his exact stats were, but Cronenworth had a hell of a series.
Really good rookie year.
Really good series.
But Taylor has been there before, and we know how much that plays up, especially in those type of exercises. We've seen him do it on the biggest stage. He did well in that 17 World Series. He's a dude who can hit, and he's locked in right now for the greater part. I think all of them are pretty fair.
A couple of them are close.
The homer in me wants to kind of call shortstop almost a push, but Tatis's ability to ignite mm-hmm. the club and kind of throw him on his back, that plays. And that's one of the biggest things for the Dodgers. Who is there? There's really just Mookie who can be that guy. When he gets to second base and he does his air ass slap thing, it's like, all right, we're in this game. Who else does that? Nobody else.
Nobody.
You know, Cody been like, I made it to the square.
Stand
I made it to the second square, coach. Talk about the base, guys, because, you know, it seemed a little slow.
I would say CT3. When CT3 makes it to base, people are just as happy as Mookie. Like, Chris has that enthusiasm when he makes it on base.
Yeah,
but not the second.
But it's almost like an ironic enthusiasm.
Yeah, for Taylor, I get it, though, he's just
that's
like,
the only, that's the closest
hey, friends,
thing we got.
We're yeah. doing this still, all right, friends? Want to be my friends? What, do you guys want to come over and play Xbox?
He's like, my hands actually do hurt. That did really
hurt. Well, that was a few years ago, but I think it's pretty fair. Starting pitcher-wise, it probably gets a little bit closer if there was going to be a Lamet and Clevinger, but there won't be both. There might be one. So Dodgers still have the advantage there. And relief pitcher, going back, I think Trevor Rosenthal going over there, because he has been
lights out,
phenomenally lights out for the Padres, and any bullpen is going to be anchored by that ninth inning guy. So if we dedicate 10 minutes each week to talking about Kenley, maybe that means we're not too confident in the ability of Kenley Jansen to be closing out games in the ninth, especially in October. So that's it. I don't know if we gained anything out of that exercise of position by position, but
we just got
now
to
you know.
It. You get to see it in real time. I'm better with pictures.
It's going
to
be a fun series. It's a fun series. It's a chemistry of both teams that's going to be battling right here. And I think Dodgers' experience is going to come through.
Mm-hmm. Do we want to do that, or should we save this for another episode? Like kind of. No, I want to quickly get into it, because there's going to be this argument. Everybody's going to see this argument online about how the teams were built. And I have another graphic for it, so we're going to do it. We're focusing, of course, on two teams there. The top number is that people can see is wins above replacement. The Dodgers pace all all of baseball in wins above replacement. They're behind the Braves on that, but
thanks to Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, Freeman had a gnarly year. But the big numbers we want to look at are the yellow numbers, which are homegrown players, versus the gray numbers, which are trades. And that thing still is somewhat inaccurate to look at that. Dodgers have 15 homegrown players. So we're going to see a lot of, oh, the Dodgers buy their championships, which if we did, we would have one already in this last generation.
We would have several.
You can make that argument in 2012 when they threw money at Boston to get Nick Punto in the famous Nick Punto trade.
Shredder Punto.
He came along with Agon and Beckett and all that, whatever. But 15 homegrown players on the Dodgers. Seven came over as free agents. There was only six trade pieces. Only three San Diego Padres, which is kind of wild when you consider that for the last season, couple of seasons, we talk about how great their farm system is, and we expect them to be great based on, you know, on the back of that farm system.
Alternatively, I don't like this, because it doesn't mean that your team isn't good at what they do, because a lot of these guys, you look at the guys that they traded for, how many of those guys were traded from homegrown talent that then went on to somewhere else to become mm-hmm. their homegrown talent, or whatever you want to call them.
But it's, you're going to hear this arguable. Argument. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear this argument from people. So Dodger fans are going to, we're going to see that in Twitter. So you'll be able to say like, oh, way to buy a team by going and trading for them. I don't know. I figure it's just arming our fans.
It's not against the Padres in this sense. It's defending the Dodgers more so. That would be my argument here. Maybe not yours, but mine would be here.
NLDS predictions. Brooke first or Gary first? Quickly.
Gary, go ahead.
3-2 Dodgers.
Oh, it's going all five.
It's going all five, and I'm going to be a nervous wreck at the end of this week.
That's good. That's a good way to do it. It's a good way to live life when you got to go through
the
entire week.
I'm taking a couple bottles
for the Lakers.
Yeah, you already took all of our bottles.
I'm taking more.
Damn, man. All of our bottles.
You could take some of that amazing, delicious body armor.
Mm-mm. Oh, I will.
Mm-mm, body armor. I'm going 3-1 Dodgers in the series.
Well, you always like to break down the series.
Oh, you want me to break them down?
I mean, you kind of do. You tend to be like, oh, they're going to lose game one or whatever it is.
Okay, win, loss, win, win.
Putting the L on the Kershaw game?
Yeah, I am. Sorry.
I'm going to go also 3-1. I think the loss will be game three because the Dodgers can't close it out.
Like, don't ask me who my losses are, because I feel bad.
Is it going to be Kenley? You're going Catman?
No, I was going Bueller and Urias.
Ooh. That's two losses.
I know, and my prediction is 3-2.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. I don't pay attention.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's two.
Is there anything else that's overly important? Oh, we got to talk about the Astros. I hate the Astros playing at my ballpark. It's stupid. What they did, what Rob Manfred did to our league is egregious.
Did you
see?
Like
to speak to his mother.
That Mattress Mac or Mattress Marvin or whoever that guy is from Houston, they let him advertise on the wall.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
You didn't see that? I saw it in the Houston Chronicle, like, Mattress Mac. The guy, you know, the guy
on the outfield wall.
Yeah, on the outfield wall. Yeah.
They put a cover over the outfield wall with their own advertisers. Yeah.
Was Utz okay with that?
Oh, they were sitting in left field. They were fine.
Okay.
Yeah, they were okay.
Okay. I just have to say that. It was annoying because I don't like when people come to your house. It's like someone come to your house and rearrange your furniture. I don't like it.
I used to do that in your garage.
Yeah, but that was basically your garage.
Hell yeah, I'm moving back in. I never lived in his garage. We just had, that was like DNHQ 17 of 3,000. I had other DNHQs
before. Oh, yeah,
he's got a couple before he was DNHQ.
Yeah,
there was pre-NHQ. I think the thing that makes that series worse is that they're there. The Astros won game one. Carlos Correa is still an asshole, and all of the broadcasters, the anchors, the announcers, all these things, they can't really. They're all just like, they're so soft on them. It's like, oh, you know, did you learn your lesson, sort of thing. Like the most they're gonna get, but it's like they're talking to them like they're real people. Like what they're doing has any value or any merit. You shouldn't even be in the playoffs. You went 29-31. The only reason you're here is because you guys probably started the COVID just so we can find a way to get more playoff teams. Because you guys are piles of crap human beings. All of you are trash. If you wanted to be absolved of this and you wanted to stop crying and you wanted after winning a fake invented wild card series, you have Correa going on being like, what are they gonna say now, dude? You just need to shut the F up and play the game. Win a World Series if you really want it to mean something. But if you want anything that comes out of your mouth to have any value, you come out and say, look, what we did was f***ed up and they should take it away. And we're going to go from here on out trying to play the game for real. I hate the Astros. I hate Carlos Correa.
That's going to be a really good sound clip when you just pull all that out.
Yeah. Oh, I was inspired. Did you guys see?
I need to go to YouTube right now and beep, beep,
you know when you guys pull clips of me and get me in trouble with Gavin Lux? Now you can get in trouble with everybody else.
Oh, no, that's
fine. I don't think everybody's going to be on my side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just send it to Astros fans, though.
Keep that energy.
Keep that energy, bro. Keep that energy.
I mean, I think even Astros fans, we've seen a number of Astros fans have been like, you know what, I think this is stupid. They should have just, like, said, here, have your piece of metal back. And let's call it a day, start anew. We didn't win that one because they didn't. They cheated that entire year.
And now they're playing in our stadium. That's the irritating part. It's like we can't get away from them.
That's the point.
No. You know? We can't have a nice playoff. Like even this series, at our stadium is like a cloud over our heads right now.
And you know Rob wanted them to be in the Dodgers dugout as well, the Dodgers clubhouse. He was trying his best, but they couldn't figure out a way to do it. That's about it. Other things, the umpiring crew is going to be really bad.
Really, really bad.
Angel Hernandez is going to be there. Bill Miller is going to be there. What's the other guy? Brett something or other. The guy, you know, he has a face. Hold on, I can find it because I was just talking crap about him to a friend earlier. It is. Drum roll, please. Lance Barrett. Lance Barrett is also very bad. Very wide strike zone. So prepare to see some arguments.
What's his name?
Lance Barrett. I just said it and then I forgot.
He's one of the less gooder umpires.
Got it.
Norma said a very church-like Clint.
Very church-like.
Lamette Slider even talking about Lance Barrett being quite awful.
I think Padres fans even know what's coming with this umpiring crew. Yeah. This is not going to work in
anybody's
favor. I
think that's what we could all meet in the middle on that.
We can agree on the umpiring crew, and we can probably agree on the Astros. At least there's that. the two uniting factors amongst baseball fans, bad umpires and the Astros.
Well, guys, this has been fun. Hope you learned a lot. I didn't. Because we were saying all the things. You guys need to bring more knowledge. But we will be here. Brooke and I will be here on the same spot you're watching this. We will be, unless you're listening, then we won't be. But we'll be here previewing each game, doing a pregame for each game, at least for 20, 30, 90 minutes, something like that. But until then, you can find all the news because we are going hard. on DodgersNation.com. So find everything about your Dodgers there. Subscribe to Blue Heaven. We are a podcast, and we are on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Pandora, Player FM, and Alexa. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/DodgersNationTV.
Can you really find us at Alexa?
I don't know. I'm assuming
I think Alexa. So. You said Blue Heaven Alexa.
Podcast. Yeah, we did that a couple weeks ago. I set off a number of people. People were upset.
People don't like Clint.
They're also, really there's mad. We also have Alexa who hangs out in the chat, and she was mad that I was yelling at her.
Guys, I am at BrookMe3. This guy over here is at RealFRG. We're both on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Dodgers Nation on Twitter, at Officials Dodgers Nation on Instagram. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Thank you, Gary, for being back in studio with us, hype tweeting, being cool, talking about the Dodgers, hanging there.
This hat.
Be safe. Keep calm. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. Alexa popped up at the end.
Last quote is, damn it, Gary.
How do I block Clint from this podcast? Oh, that was so good. Thank you, Katie. Love you, too.